Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Help us, O God, to answer the call. The call that you call us with. May we hear your voice and may we follow in Jesus' name. Amen. So a few weeks ago, I was riding in the car with my family and one of my girls said from the back seat, "Oh my goodness, I just saw on my phone that Gypsy Rose Blanchard is out of jail." And I was like, "Who in the world is Gypsy Rose Blanchard?" And so I asked my wife, Stacy, I said, "Do you know who she's talking about?" "Yeah, it was this girl, and there's a show about her I watched called The Act. It's on Hulu." And so that afternoon, I went home, and I started watching The Act. And y'all, this is a story. See, Gypsy Rose Blanchard was this precious little girl who was really, really sick. She had, she was sight impaired, she was hearing impaired, she had a seizure disorder, she had muscular dystrophy, she had a feeding tube, she had all these allergies, and then she contracted leukemia. I mean, if she didn't have bad luck, she didn't have luck at all. I mean, and she was being raised and cared for by her loving mother, Dee Dee. But, you know, the community responded. And so there were a lot of organizations that helped this family out, you know. And how could you not? Because this little girl would sit in her wheelchair, you know, with her bald head and just smile. And it lit up anybody who was around her. I mean, it was really incredible. See this, you know, she was given like trips and they were given money, a Habitat for Humanity house and even a laptop computer. And you know, but then as Gypsy began to get older, she began to realize some things, like she's in a wheelchair, but she can walk. And then she began to question other things, like, "I thought I was born in 1991. Why are you telling people I was born in 1995? Why are you telling me I'm 14 years old when I'm really 19 years old?" Things like this. And as she began to question, she began to discover things like she wasn't sick at all. She had gone through countless surgeries. She had seen an infinite number of doctors. She had taken piles and piles of medications throughout her lifetime. She was confined to a wheelchair, not because she needed it, because her mother told her to sit there. And this went on for years and years and years. But eventually, that laptop that one of these organizations gave to Gypsy, she started using it, and she went on a dating website, Christian dating website, actually, and found a man and who was in Wisconsin while they were in Missouri. And she actually set it up for the two of them to meet at a movie theater and hoping that her mother would just fall in love with this young man like she had, but it didn't turn out that way at all. In fact, her mother really didn't like him. So he went back to Wisconsin, and then they kept their relationship going. They kept talking. And the only way for her to be free and the only way for her to move forward was for Mama not to be there anymore. And so he came back to Missouri, and they killed her mother. He was convicted and sentenced to life in prison without parole, second-degree murder. She, too, was convicted of second-degree murder, but she only received 10 years. And a couple weeks ago, she was paroled, and rightfully so. But I got to tell you, you're probably wondering, why in the world is Pastor Stephen telling us about Gypsy Rose Blanchard this morning? Because it is so crazy. I'm absolutely obsessed with this story, y'all. And I mean, like, I've watched 3 or 4 documentaries on it. I follow her on TikTok. It's crazy. And when you're obsessed with something, what do? You tell other people, don't you? I mean, isn't that why social media exists? I mean, when there's something that we are fixated on or happy about or excited about or even mad about, what do? We tell everybody. You know, I mean, there are friends of mine that have children that I've never seen in person, but I promise you if they walked in here today, I would know exactly who they are. Why? Because they flash their picture up every chance they get. And grandparents, don't you think you're worse? But, I mean, think about it. When you go see a movie that not that you just like, but that you absolutely love, that you just walked away from and was like, man, that was life-changing. What do? Do you just go home? No, you pick up the phone and you either call somebody or you text. And the next day when you're at work or at home, the next person you see, you're telling them about that movie. We do the same thing with books. We do it with television shows. We do it with stores. I mean, have you been to Costless? If you haven't been to Costless, it's over there in the old Sears. Man, you want to talk some shopping deals, you need to go to Costless today. But is it open on Sunday? Anyway, go sometime soon. But like, whether it's a new restaurant, when you love a restaurant, you don't keep it to yourself. We probably should. We wouldn't have to wait. But we tell people, don't we? That's what we do when we're inspired, when we're excited. We tell anybody and everybody who will listen. And that's exactly what's going on in today's gospel reading. Jesus finds Philip and says, follow me. And I've always found the next little part a little strange, a little funny. Jesus says, follow me. And the next thing you know, Philip is not with Jesus. And he says, I found, even though we heard that Philip, that Jesus found, but he goes, we have found the Messiah, the one who is talked about in the law and the prophets. Jesus from Nazareth. To which Nathanael goes, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And you got to understand, Nazareth was kind of a podunk town. And I have to be very careful because in the last service, I used Red Bank, and that's probably not very nice. So we'll say some place that no one's from. Anybody from Swansea? It'd be like Swansea, okay? You know, and it's not that there's bad people there. It's just that there's nothing in that town. It's just small, right? You would expect, like, the Messiah to come from Jerusalem, to come from Corinth, to come from some huge city, not little old Nazareth. So Nathanael's like, can anything good come from Nazareth? And now, to his credit, Philip has a great response. He doesn't try to argue it. He doesn't try to prove it. He just says, come on. Come check it out. Come and see. And so he does. To which Nathanael meets Jesus. And Jesus tells him, and this is, theologians have debated this forever. He says, here's an Israelite in whom there's no deceit. And Nathanael's like, have we met? Yeah, I saw you when you were under the fig tree. And at that moment, Nathanael's like, you are the Son of God. Now, If you met somebody for the first time and they said, oh yeah, I saw you at the stoplight the other day. First of all, you'd be like, stalker. And secondly, you're not going to be overly impressed with this, right? But for some reason, we don't know why Nathanael was. And he knows exactly who it is. And Jesus says, but he ain't seen nothing yet. But this all started, why? Because Philip was excited. He was excited because he had met the Messiah. And he didn't just keep it to himself. He couldn't just keep it to himself. He had to go and tell. Jesus called him to follow, but the next scene, he's not following, he's going. He is going to tell. Just like we do with movies, just like we do with books, just like we do with television shows. And think about it. When's the last time your team won a national championship? I guarantee you were talking to people the next day about it. I mean, that's just the way it is. When we're excited, we have to tell. So why aren't we telling? I mean, we are celebrating a God who came to this world and lived among us and saved us from our sins. And that has been revealed to us. See, that's what Epiphany is all about. It's about God revealing himself to the world through Jesus Christ. But this is the season after Epiphany, which is a little different because Christmas season is Christmas season. Easter is Easter. Lent is Lent. Advent is Advent. But this is the season after the Epiphany. All of the readings, everything we're going to hear about is what happens after. What happens after Christ is revealed. And that's the state of the world that you and I are living in. We are in that after stage What do we do with this after it's been revealed? Through baptism, Christ has been revealed to each and every one of us. Throughout our lives, that revelation continues to happen over and over and over again. So the question is, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do with it? Why is it that we can get so excited over a book or a movie or a television show that we just can't wait to tell, but when it comes to the one who saves us, who loves us, who forgives us, we can just sit on that? Don't you think we ought to go and tell? Throughout my 23 plus year ministry, I've read countless books about how to make the church grow. Although I haven't read a lot in the past because I kind of figured it out, quite honestly. You see, in the 90s and 2000s, that was all about these programs you could do or things that you could like put out and advertisements and things like that. But you know what? None of it works. You know what works? You do. Because just like a movie in the box office, the first weekend is all about the advertising, right? Everybody floods because the ads look good. But the second weekend and the weekends after that, it's not about the ads anymore. It's because somebody told. See, we can put out all kinds of ads and things like that, but that only goes so far. What happens is, when you tell your friends, when you tell your family, when you tell the stranger on the street, hey, come and see, check this out, I'm excited about it. You know what they'll do? They'll come. They'll come. But see, the thing is, this is not about putting more people in our pews, and it's not about growing any congregation. This is about growing the kingdom of God, because that's what it's all about. It's not about being excited about church. It's about being excited about a Savior, the one who changes not only your life, but changes the world. And we are called to share that message. And it's not hard to do. I mean, Philip had it down right. He didn't try to come up with some theological explanation of, you know, who it is. He didn't go back to the Bible and look up all of the quotes from the Old Testament to see, to prove that Jesus was who he said he was. All he said was, come and see. Come and check this out. And I know that folks today were afraid of not knowing enough or someone asking questions or maybe getting into some debate. Philip could have gotten in a debate with Nathanael when he said, nothing good comes from Nazareth. He could have said, No, it does. He didn't get into any of that. All he said was, just come. Because God will take care of the rest. My friends, you and I are called to do the same. And the reason why we do this is not because we need full pews. And it's not because we want every church to be the biggest it can be. It's because people need it. You are loved. You are forgiven. You are saved. And if that doesn't excite you, what will? But don't you think other people need that too? Don't you think in this world that's broken, in this world that's struggling so much, that this world is so divided, that people out there need that same kind of good news? Go and tell them. Go and tell them to come and see. God will do the rest. Amen.